This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we're visiting with author Kimberly Plant, who is debuting her new memoir, Worthy, a true story about her child abuse starting at the age of 3 at the hands of her mother. Kimberly Plant is also the director of respiratory therapy at a children's hospital in Boston. And Kimberly, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome, and looking forward to hearing about some of the details from this book, Worthy. So, Kimberly, I got to tell you right up front, just to be blunt, I'm shocked at the level of abuse that you suffered from as a toddler and then a child. It's mind-blowing, if you want me to just be upfront with you. Can you tell our listeners how you came to live with your mother who abused you?
Sure. When I was born, my mother pretty much deserted me and left me with my grandfather and grandmother and left. In the story, it tells about my first memories of my papa and then just kind of the normalcy of a three-year-old, two-year-old living with her gram in a home that she knew. And then one day, I was sitting on the top of the stairs playing on them, which I shouldn't have been doing, and the door opened, and this stranger walked in. And I say stranger because I had never seen this person except for a picture that hung on the wall. And I had been told that that was my mother, and there she stood at the door. And she had somebody with her. It was her fiancé. And she was going to start a new life and wanted me to be part of that. Or that's the family that she drew up for everybody to believe. Soon after that, I moved in with them and they were married. And she realized having a toddler she didn't know was a lot more work than she expected and wanted, and kind of got in the way of her new life. So I ended up being locked in my room a lot. I would have accidents, which would make her angry, which would make me be locked in my room more. And the only time I got to come out really was when my stepdad was home, because she would pretend everything was okay. And that's kind of how I got pulled out of the only real home I knew as a small kid.
Well, let me ask you this, if you don't mind. Share a story from the book for our audience just to get a little bit of an idea of what you went through.
Sure. As you can imagine, this is very difficult. And if it's okay with you, can I read just a couple paragraphs out of my memoir?
Actually, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
So I'm going to kind of set the scene a little bit. We're going to fast forward to when I'm 6 and a half. And when I was 6, my stepdad was murdered. So you can imagine things just got worse for me. No longer was I locked in a room. I was locked in a house where there was just a lot of abuse and a lot of anger and abandonment. So let me just read this for you. And I'm sorry if my voice cracks up a little bit, but one day I came home from school and was hit with a horrible odor when I opened the door. Mom was in the bathroom. I knew this because the bathroom door was cracked open and the trail of gray cigarette smoke drifted into the hall outside. In addition to the typical stench of her body odor, cigarette smoke and trash, I smelled a different pungent odor. I followed the smell through the dark to the tiny dilapidated kitchen at the back of the house. The sink was full of dirty dishes, one of which was a pan from days earlier that had been soaking. I stepped on my tiptoes to look inside. It was full of stagnant water and food crushed on the edges. I looked closer and saw tiny white worms crawling around the pan. Maggots, tons of them. The smell was so bad I've almost vomited. You need to clean this pan up right now, Mom snapped from behind me. Horrified, I pointed at the maggots. I don't want to touch them. She laughed. Get it done. And it better be spotless along with the rest of the dishes. She went outside, sat down on the porch, and lit a cigarette. This was her daily afternoon ritual. Sleep until I got home. My brother penned up in his crib with multiple bottles, some empty, some curdled, in a sopping wet diaper. Then when I came home, she'd get him out of the crib, change his diaper, and take him outside with her. Today wasn't any different. Once she had shut the door, I looked again at the pan, knowing there was no way I was going to put my hand anywhere near the slimy food and the little worms. So I opened a grocery bag, picked up the pan with a paper towel, and shoved it in the bag. The smell was so bad that I threw up in my mouth a little. I took the bag outside the back door and threw it in the trash can. Somehow it didn't occur to me that this wasn't a foolproof plan. A couple minutes later, she yelled at me to come outside. My heart sank. I knew I was in big trouble. "Did you clean the pan?" she asked. "Yes," I lied, my heart beating so hard, so fast I could hear it beat in my ears. "Where is it?" she demanded. I paused for a minute, not knowing what to do or say. I knew the truth would bring on the wrath of the belt, so I tried another lie. By now I was crying. Not big tears to get away with a lie, but tears of fear that what would happen to me if that lie didn't work. "I'm sorry, Mommy," I said. "It's not clean." I tried my best, but it was uncleanable. The food was too stuck on. Instantly, she grabbed my arm and walked me to the other side of the house where the trash can was. I knew I was getting the belt. "I'm so sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry," I repeated. She lifted the trash can lid, pulled out the paper bag with the maggot bit pan, and took her cigarette out of her mouth. She shoved the pan at me, but I didn't take it, afraid a touch was crawling around the edges of the pan that had fell to the ground. "Pick it up," she yelled. I was frozen with fear, sobbing. "Please don't make me touch it, Mommy, please. I'm so scared of worms." Then she grabbed my hand, pulling me towards the monstrosity, and I pulled away. She was furious. She grabbed my hair on the top of my head and pushed me down toward the pan. I screamed in pain and fear. "Pick up the pan, Kim," she repeated. "Pick up the goddamn pan." Still sobbing, but harder now, and begging her in between sobs for her not to hit me, she let go of my hair, grabbed my arm, took the cigarette from the corner of her mouth, and pressed the red-hot ember into my forearm. The pain was so intense, I could hardly breathe. I had no idea what to do next, and not knowing was almost as terrifying as whatever she could possibly do. "Pick up the goddamn pan," she yelled again. My arm was throbbing. I could see the perfect circle where the cigarette had burned into it. I was crying so hard I couldn't catch my breath, which only made her more angry. Terrified that she would burn me again, I somehow picked up the pan with my other hand. She grabbed my burned arm and squeezed it hard where the burn was, searing the radiation through my body. "Get your ass in the kitchen and make that goddamn pan spotless," she yelled, and dragged me back inside. That was the first of many burns that she gave me. Some were in rage, and some were just that she wanted to laugh when I cried in shock and pain.
What is hard to believe here as well, you're going through all that and no one picked up on it and even could sense that you were suffering in a major, major way and level. So tell me, did you ever tell anyone about what was happening to you in the school or to a friend's parent? Did you tell anyone?
One time when my mother was beating me with a belt, my grandmother came in and tried to stop her. And my mother stopped beating me and punched my grandmother in the face. And when I was little, I was afraid if I told somebody she would hurt them too. It wasn't until I was older and a teenager and found drugs in the house that I reached out to a counselor. I was scared to death of the drugs, I think more than I was of my mother. And I told her about the drugs, the counselor. And she called my mom. And when I got home, I was beaten so badly for telling that I never told anybody.
Well, that is the worst thing that the school could have done under that scenario. I really can't understand why they would do that. And you paid the price, and you just told us that story today. We're joined by Kimberly Plant, the author of her new memoir, Worthy, A True Story About Her Child Abuse, starting at the age of 3 at the hands of her mother here on eHealth Radio's Mental Health and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, also, Kimberly, tell us how you kept a glimmer of hope alive and survived such a terrifying ordeal that led you through your entire childhood.
One thing my mother used to say to me when she was beating me, someday you'll understand. You'll understand why this is happening. And even as a small child, I knew she was wrong. I knew she was wrong. I didn't understand. I didn't understand how somebody could have so much rage and hate and hurt people. It wasn't a choice for me to become a good mom or grow as a person. It was just who was inside of me. It was my core. I knew that you should love your children. I knew that you should be kind to people. I just, growing up and even in my early life, didn't think I was worthy of having somebody do that back to me.
Well, not to be taking this lightly, but I just have to laugh at the fact that your mother would tell you one day you'll understand. That is, come on now. I mean, anyway. So you wrote this book as an adult. How long did it actually take you to write and then get the book published? And which was harder, writing the book or getting it published? Also, where's the book available? I'm sure listeners are, I mean, this is heart-wrenching. So I'm sure people want to know more details of what actually could be happening out there behind the scenes that with people we know that we have no idea what's going on out there.
Sure. It took me 2 years to write. I, throughout my life, have shared some of the stories, some of the things that have happened to me, some of my accomplishments and my victories throughout my life. And people would always say, oh, Kim, you should write a book. And, you know, I just thought I had what it took to open all of those blocked doors that I locked and put away, because I knew if I was going to write a book, I was going to have to remember and share. And one day, a few years ago, 3 years ago, I met a woman at an airport. And I'm a respiratory therapist by trade. And she was sitting, waiting for a plane, and she had a nasal cannula on. So I was just drawn to this woman, of course, because that's what I do for work. And we started talking, and I kind of told her just the Reader's Digest version of who I was and why I was on the East Coast instead of the West Coast celebrating Christmas. I was from Arizona. I was in the Newark airport. And after telling her a little bit about my story and why I was in the Newark airport, she said, you need to write a story. And I said, I don't think I can. And she said, well, this story needs to be shared for others who have gone through similar situations of abuse and trauma and who need to know that they're just as worthy as you are everybody's worthy of love and acceptance. And she said, I'll help you. She said, I'm a retired teacher, and I have a daughter who works in editing, and we're going to get this book done. So for the last 2.5 years, we worked on it through COVID, through everything else that's been happening in the world and my life, and we got it done. And then we found a publishing company called Rebel Publishing, who my publisher, or excuse me, my editor knew from a prior encounter, and we told the publisher, Diane Lilly, about the story. And she was so excited and said, let's get this book printed. Let's get it out there for people to read. This is an amazing story of triumph and of love. And so I am so proud to say that my book is now available on barnesandnoble.com and Amazon, and will be in bookstores on the 18th of November for purchase. I also would like to add that part of the proceeds for this book is going to be donated to Child USA, which is a nonprofit organization for child abuse.
And of course, we'll leave these links accordingly within the show notes of this broadcast as well. And thanks for letting us know where we can pick up the book as well. In a form of a tip, anything you could add in form of a tip that would help any survivors of abuse who would like to tell their story in a memoir like you did?
Sure. Well, the first tip is to make sure you have a good support system, a counselor, family, friends who you can call at 10 o'clock at night and just cry. And don't be afraid. Find your voice and know that there's so many other people who've had such horrible things happen to them during their lifetime. And remember, it's not just you that bad things happen to. And I believe that if you can share your story, it makes others feel like they're not alone, which I had for so many years.
Once again, Kimberly, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. And it's such a heart-wrenching story. And I know it was difficult to even go there again here verbally and on a program like this. And I really appreciate it. I know it wasn't easy. And I understand also that you have a website designated for the memoir. What is the website where listeners could get further details as well?
Sure. It's worthymemoir.com. And it has a brief synopsis of the book and the opportunity to purchase online as well. I can say that I'm working on my second book, which is a much better story of where my life has gone, and unexpected and wonderful, awesome, amazing turns of events that I never imagined could happen to me.
Well, we certainly would like to promote that second book as well. I mean, if you've got a story like that to tell, we want to hear about it. And Kimberly, all the best. Look forward to another conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Have a great one.
Thank you, Eric. Have a wonderful afternoon.
And you too. We've been speaking with Kimberly Plant, the author of her new memoir, Worthy, a true story about her child abuse starting at the age of 3 at the hands of her mother. And for further details, visit worthymemoir.com. And this is Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back.